Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Live from the Westwood One Laundry Room. Are all the grown-ups in bed? That's great. Now we can tell the good stories. From the beaches of Guam on KAUM to the Washington, D.C. Beltway. On the Schuylkill in the homes of WPHT. On the Lakeshore, the Dan Ryan. I-4 through the WAC state of Florida. And I-90. Route 80 through KDKA Pittsburgh. KMOX St. Louis. And rolling on the ice roads of Alaska. Listening on KBYR Anchorage. This is the fastest growing show in network radio. Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Look at this. 1.8 million high school students and others marched this weekend. And I couldn't be happier. Not because of what they marched about, which is tragic, but that they marched at all. I have missed social activism. I have missed protests. I remember 1968. I was two at the time. But I remember 1968, and I remember the passion and the excitement of the activism at that time. And I miss it. Now, you're 15 years old, is that right?
Yes, I am.
And you're in a public high school.
I am.
In a nice neighborhood.
Nice neighborhood, mm-hmm.
When these shootings took place across the country, the last one being in Florida, how did you feel the next day when you had to go to school? How did you feel?
It was incredibly terrifying. It was scary to walk into a building that you can no longer feel safe in.
When I went into high school.
Yes. Long, long ago, when the dinosaurs were around.
When the gas lights were in the hallways. Many times I would be scared walking to high school because football players would shove me against the wall. Because people would make fun of my last name. I believe that high school has always been a terrifying situation for most people except the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the lead cheerleader. Everybody else, it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But this is different. Because we were terrified of being bullied, of getting an F, of not getting into college, of not getting out of high school, or worse, having to go to shop and auto repair. In my public high school, auto repair was an option. But now we're talking about bullets. So share with me how that feels to walk into a public high school as a 15-year-old girl. And know that people just like you in schools just like yours in nice neighborhoods. These were all in nice neighborhoods in Denver and in Florida. How did that feel the next day?
It feels like you could be next. Because you still have all those underlying fears of normal high school life. And then you have this other thing where it's like, oh, you could get murdered right now. Just from some crazy kid walking in. It's terrifying. It's scary. And it just ruins the environment you've already, like, created for yourself.
Coming up in just seconds, we're going to have a special report from a Westwood One correspondent who's going to summarize the marches. 1.8 million people marched on Saturday to end firearms in your hands and mine. But they marched for a lot more. Because you remember, during the Vietnam protest and during the race protest, during the equal rights protest, it wasn't just because of that my best friend just got recruited to go to Vietnam. And I do not believe that the reason that these kids are protesting is not just because of guns. I believe that is the tinder. I believe that is the final straw. Because when I talk to you, a 15-year-old who's in a public high school, and when I talk to your friends, there are a lot of other problems. And this is just the public one, the final straw, the irrefutable one. Nobody should get shot.
Right.
Okay. And no one should have to go to school at 15 worrying about being shot. There are other issues that we don't hear about that I would like to hear about now. What are some of the other things that worry you as a 15-year-old going to public high school?
Well, the unaddressed epidemic of mental health and just it's not addressed that the amount of workloads we get, the amount of pressure we're put under at such a young age is so extreme that it's not addressed, and there's no help to lessen that factor. And
tell me about your home workload.
I have a lot of it. I have about 4 hours to go of just pure homework, and it's 10 o'clock at night. So it's just so much work put on. And
now, is this rare? Is it the end of the semester? Are there tests, or is this almost every day?
Well, it's almost every day. Yes, it is like the end of the quarter, but it's usually like this every weekend. It built up of work, and you have to get it all done, and it's a lot. It's a lot.
So you have 4 or 5 hours of homework to go tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the breathalyzer.
Oh, yeah. So at our nice homecoming dance with a bunch of suburban white kids, we have to have breathalyzer tests. Because for some reason, one kid got drunk and just decided to ruin it for everyone else. And then they start administrating breathalyzers. I would never, ever think I'd have to take one of those, ever. But in my own school, in the North Gym, we have to take breathalyzer tests to get into a dance.
So to go to a dance,
mm-hmm.
you have to find the right dress, hopefully
mm-hmm.
get a date,
mm-hmm.
make sure your skin doesn't break out,
mm-hmm.
deal with all the normal nerves of should I dance or should I not.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you go into the dance, they want you to take a breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
How does that go? Because I've never seen a breathalyzer machine.
Mm-hmm.
I've never taken a breathalyzer test. But how does that go?
Well, you walk in, you wait in this line, they check your ID, and then so casually they're just all lined up. The administrators of the school board are administrating breathalyzer tests to kids. And you just go up to them, you do it, and if you had mouthwash before, like if you wash your teeth and traces of alcohol in that mouthwash, oh, you're done. You can't come in. You know, it's crazy.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and we're talking to the 15-year-old, the 15-year-old girl who goes to a public high school, who now is afraid to go to school because in addition to the trouble with the dances, the boyfriends, the girlfriends, too much homework, gee, I might get killed in school, because at the moment it seems that the highest crime area in America is a high school. And it's interesting that there's actually resistance to putting armed guards in every high school, because to this day there's an armed guard in every bank. There's an armed guard in every bank, and almost never is there gunplay in banks. The incident of gunplay in high school is far greater than the incident of gunplay in banks. How would you feel if there were real police officers in your school?
I don't know if I'd feel safer. Because we do have security guards, but they're not armed. And I believe we have a policeman at the front door, but one guy, I don't believe he's armed either. But I feel like it'd be worse. Well, not worse, but I guess better. If they know what they're doing, and if there happens to be a shooter, then they could get rid of it easily, and it would resolve situations like that.
Well, what about the idea of armed teachers? How do you feel about
that? Well, that's just stupid, because not all of these teachers are the most sane people I've ever met. So why would I want them to have a gun behind their desk when I'm trying to turn in a paper? And they could easily kill me right there and then. I don't think that's safe at all. I think that's a terrible idea.
What's your solution to violence in schools? Do you have a solution? Do you have an idea as to what could deter violence in schools and make grown-ups take appropriate actions?
Well, I believe you can start with how the media addresses situations like shootings. I think they should show the victims more than who shot the school. I believe that the shooter is so romanticized. They show them, and they don't really give the details of what happened to these people who died. I believe they should show the bodies on television and show what really happened and make it more of a reality instead of this facade.
888-688-WALT. There's the 15-year-old who goes to a public high school, a mixed public high school, in a nice neighborhood, who says the following: giving teachers guns is stupid. The way to deter this is to actually show the carnage. Think about it. You and I hear about a shooting in a school, and then we see a bunch of angry parents and a bunch of angry kids saying this should never happen, but I don't know what happened. I never see what happens. And even worse, there are insane people, conspiracy people, who say it didn't happen. This was all just made up. But of course, that's insane. But the 15-year-old here says, show the carnage. Show, instead of showing the shooter being taken out or dying or taken to prison, show the carnage. And you know what? I think that would stop it today. I think if you showed those 15, 16, 17-year-olds dead, bleeding, that would stop it today. Because an interesting fact is that when you ask people why they went on Jerry Springer or why they went on Maury Povich to reveal their paternity, because it's so embarrassing, it's so ridiculous. Why would they do that? The answer is always because I got to be on TV. And here are people who are 18 and 19 years old, guys, always guys, they're always 19, who have no future and no hope, but wait, this will make me have a grand and glorious exit from life. And so you say the solution is?
Showing dead bodies on television, showing the victims.
I think that is the solution. What do you think? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. There's John listening on WMAL. Welcome. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
John, hey, it's a pleasure. Were you at the march today? Were you at the march today? Yesterday?
I did drive through the march today. I drove through. It was a huge crowd, which was, you know, quite inspiring, but at the same time, I think it's terrible that we're teaching an entire generation of kids that they should be protesting for our government to take away our rights as citizens.
They're not protesting that. They're protesting that people are misusing the guns. The laws are already in place. The law says do not commit homicide. The law's already in place. There are laws against murder. Thanks very much for calling, John. Thanks for calling from WMAL in Washington, D.C. Share with us, sum up again, the challenges and the stress that you go through as a 15-year-old girl going into high school each day. You got homework, boys. What are some of the other ones?
You have constant, like, trying to figure out who you're going to sit with at lunch. How are you going to turn in this paper on time? Do you think your teachers are going to like you? Do you think you're going to be able to finish this project, do well on this test, studying? And then not to mention how many clubs you sign up for. How are you going to be able to attend those clubs after school and still do homework? How are you going to maintain your social life? How are you going to maintain your family life? That's also important. And how are you going to do that all in 1 week, every single week? It's so much pressure at such a young age, and it's hard to process all the time. And then to have this other factor of, oh, I could be shot going to school five times a week is just so much information.
All right, so the 15-year-old who goes to public school, your suggestion is to end the carnage, to stop the nonsense, is to actually show the results of these shooters. We don't see them. We only see the shooter being taken out or taken to prison. We don't see the results. We don't see the carnage. About the other issues, the homework, the social pressure, do you have any suggestions for the grown-ups who run your schools?
I believe that my public high school has done a great job at communicating with the children who have started our walkouts, our sit-ins, and trying to figure out solutions. But I believe if you can't just talk, you actually have to take action and start things and make better security regulations and really just try and take action, because when you say something, you actually have to follow through with it. And I feel like a lot of adults who are the head of schools tend to fail at that, and they don't pull through with their words and what they had planned to do. They don't actually do it.
All right, 15-year-old who goes to public school, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Thank you.
We are moving. We found the guilt boxes in the back of closets. Boxes filled with photos, Super 8 film, videotapes of our lives, pictures of when I was really skinny with long hair. We don't even have the equipment to watch these videos. Legacy Box gives access to your valuable memories.
Legacy Box is a new way to save your photos, videos, home movies, and put them back in your life today. How it works, you receive a free mailer box from Legacy Box for your photos, tapes, movies, and you mail it back to Legacy Box. In a couple of weeks, you get back your originals and a perfect DVD or thumb drive with all of your memories. Walter Sterling listeners, that's you, get a 40% discount when you visit legacybox.com/Walter. 40% off your order at legacybox.com/Walter.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Stick Walter in your ear all week. Download the podcast. Get it from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad from iTunes.
I've got too much to do tonight. All right, we're going to talk about our special show coming up from the Waffle House. We have the latest conspiracy theories with Larry Wax coming up later tonight. Third shift workers, let's get the free food. Plus, why nice guys finish last. There is a fix. Plus, a WMAL listener got a $10,000 United Airlines voucher. Plus, you can play the cash call contest and win a prize announcement on Sterling on Sunday. There's Bob Constantini. Bob Constantini is a real journalist, a reporter working for Westwood One, who has covered the marches and the protests across the country today. Hi, Bob.
Walter, good to be with you tonight. Saturday was certainly an interesting time. The size of a crowd, at least, to rival just about any protest I've ever seen, demonstration I've ever seen in Washington, including the day after the inauguration, the Women's March, which was pretty crowded at that event. But there's an estimate of 500,000 or up to 800,000. It's the National Park Service doesn't really announce these crowd sizes anymore.
Well, Bob, we know why they were protesting. What would you say was the average age of the protester?
Well, of course, you had a lot of students there. They were high school students, and if you want to take the average age of the high school students or the people who appeared to be high school students, you'd say they were 16, 17. I ended up talking with some young ladies who were 14 years old who'd come as with others in their school and with their parents. And, of course, there were a lot of parents there. There were some teachers there. I actually even ran into a woman. This is just by happenstance, a woman who said that she was a psychologist who had helped treat some of the high school students after the Columbine massacre, and that she was shocked, and she was there marching, shocked that this was still happening, this kind of thing was still happening in the United States. And then
now, did you talk to the kids, Bob Constantini?
Oh, I talked to several of the young people who were there, there they talk about the active shooter drills that they have to go through. One of the students talked, and this was someone who was not at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, but one of the students said the week or so after the shooting there in Florida, they had a fire drill, an unannounced fire drill, and a lot of students were having panic attacks because they felt that this was something that might be happening at their school as far as an active shooter situation is concerned. Clearly, the organizers of this from the high school in Parkland and elsewhere are trying to start some kind of political movement with young potential voters. Can they hold it together, of course, is a key question, Walter.
All right, Bob Constantini, a top reporter for Westwood One, covering the events of this weekend for us, the high school marches, the activism that's taking place right now in our country. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. All right, here we go. There's Andrea Gonzalez, who's listening on KAUM in Guam. You know what's great? We're on KAUM in Guam on Monday morning. The way the time zones work, Guam is about 9 a.m. Monday morning. The best thing about this show is that I am live, 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 live. I'm not just live. I am live, live, live. And why is that important? It's because unlike most network shows, in fact, every other network show, every single radio station, including the one in Guam, is airing this show live. The one in Anchorage is airing this show live. And it means that you and I can have a meaningful conversation without wondering, gee, did he record that 4 days ago? No, I'm on the air live, which is just a terrifying prospect as I think about it. And therefore, I have to tell you that on WLS in Chicago, WLS in Chicago, WLS in Chicago, 50,000 watts that covers the entire Midwest. I'm happy to report that Loyola is in the Final Four. That's unbelievable. Now, at 11 o'clock, we're going to be on WPHT in Philadelphia, where Villanova is also in the lead here in whatever this is, the basketball thing that I don't understand. But it's very exciting for all these towns. So this half hour, we're just going to talk about Loyola. And then at 11, we'll mention Villanova a couple times, but that'll be our secret. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up on April 15th, you and I get to meet. One of the reasons I've always loved doing this show is that I have the privilege from time to time of meeting great listeners. Great listeners. And we get to talk and enjoy each other. But I've always wanted to have a meal with you. I've always wanted to spend time with you. And we're going to do it in Painesville, Ohio, on I-90, Interstate 90, otherwise during the winter, otherwise known as the Luge. And, it's that terrible road that goes from, Indianapolis and Cleveland up to Buffalo and to Syracuse, where they have great pizza and fantastic hosts like Paul Vandenberg in Albany. But, oh, man, that is a tough road. Along the Erie Canal, I-90. But we're going to be at a Waffle House on I-90, Interstate 90, on April 15th, live from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And guess what? I have gifts for you. You ready? The gifts are a beautiful Waffle House coffee mug. If you bring an ugly coffee mug. You know at work how everybody makes fun of you because you have some ugly coffee mug that your kid gave you? I'm sorry. That some ex-boyfriend gave you. And it's got that crack down the side and permanent coffee stains, that coffee mug. Okay, I want you to bring that to the Waffle House in Painesville on April 15th. And you will be given a brand new Waffle House mug. A brand new Waffle House mug. You will also be given free coffee. And many people will get gift cards, $50, $100. Now, you're saying to me, why is Waffle House doing this? I don't really know, because they're not paying for this. This is not a paid promotion. I just said, where could you and I meet that would be fun and interesting? And I'm like, I always like the Waffle House. Now, why do I like the Waffle House? It has a jukebox. Yeah, that's good. But you know what else the Waffle House has? The Waffle House also has benches, booths that are the right size for me. I always have trouble with booths. I'm 6 feet tall, but I have short legs. The Waffle House booths are just the right height. They're just the right size for me. The coffee is great. And, of course, it's the best health food snacks in the world. Therefore, I'm looking at something here. There it is. On April 15th, when you will need carbohydrates more than any other time in your life, you will need carbohydrates more than any other time in your life on April 15th. You will be able to share them with me at the Waffle House in Painesville, Ohio. It's right at the Pennsylvania border. You're listening on KDKA. Welcome, Jim Gracie's KDKA. A short drive from Pittsburgh. Short drive from St. Louis. Well, pretty short drive from St. Louis. And definitely worth it because you and I will get together. Now, there's going to be gift cards. What are the gift cards going to be for? Well, for Keith Mortensen, an 18-wheeler. Guy who drives an 18-wheeler, he might win Who Came the Furthest? Who Came the Furthest? And then we're going to do Who Brought the Wackiest Date? The Wackiest Date, Who Came the Furthest? Plus, I think, you know, we're going to do some other things for the special people of Painesville, the fire department, the police department, and the great workers at the Painesville, Ohio Waffle House. Gift cards. You and I get a chance to talk. I'll put you on the air. You get to tell your stories. We'll get to talk and meet each other, and we'll eat at a Waffle House at midnight. What could be better than eating at a Waffle House at midnight? My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I'm broadcasting live. What's this? Okay, I'm broadcasting live from the laundry room, the Westwood One laundry room. When you envision a broadcaster such as myself with such an incredible voice and stage presence, you think, I must be in a magnificent wood-paneled studio, right? An incredible wood-paneled studio surrounded by staff. I'm surrounded by a washer and a dryer. If you go to Facebook, Walter M. Sterling Facebook, you will see a photograph of my equipment from Kenmore and Sanyo. The microphones? No, the washer and dryer. Which brings me to this subject. There's great romance about working at home. Have you ever worked at home? Because I need your help. I always thought there was great romance of working at home. And when I was single, that was sort of true. And everybody goes, well, you won't have to deal with the traffic. Well, yeah. And that's it. I can think of no other benefit of working at home. There are a lot of problems at working at home. And there's new studies that came out that said it's not such a great thing. And it's not just because I'm cut off from coworkers and the joy of working with people, the joy for me of working with people, but it's more than that. It's that if a person stays at home all day and doesn't change and get out of their underwear and get in traffic and get in a traffic jam, it's easy to lose touch with what matters. If you don't suffer on the Dan Ryan going into Chicagoland, if you don't suffer on the lakeshore going into Chicago, if you're not on the Beltway going into D.C., if you're not on the Schuylkill going into Philadelphia or I-80, if you don't get that suffering on a regular basis, you can start to imagine that everything's okay. You can start to have the delusion that everything's okay. And if you take your first shower at 2:30 in the afternoon, if you're a day worker, that's not good. And if you're working all night at home, that's even more isolating. I'd like to know if you've ever worked at home, how that has worked out for you. Because it's really hard for me to work at home. That's what I'm doing now. I work at home. I work in the show is coming to you from a laundry room. Hold that thought. The show is coming from a laundry room. Do you think Bob Sirott came from a laundry room? Do you think Chris Plant comes from a laundry room? Those are big hosts. I don't think so. But here I am, the Westwood One Laundry Room. I'd like to know about your challenge of working at home and any advice you have on managing the kids, managing your spouse, because all the time that I'm working at home in the basement, in the laundry room, I'm hearing the boom, 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 boom overhead. Boom, 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 boom. I hear that all day and night. That's not good. But more troubling is the fact that I don't have the normal interaction with not just coworkers, the world, but I can tell you this, having run many businesses, before I was a talk show host, I was a suit. For 30 years, I was a suit. I was one of those people who wrote memos and gave directives and all that. But I know how we treated the people who worked at home. Here's my phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT on a Sunday night. It's you and me on a Sunday night.